Bucham Abayim to the 19th in the series of lectures on the 13 principles of faith of Maimonides, that is the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam. And with this 19th Shia, the 19th lecture, we're up to the last of the Ikrim of the Rambam, that's the 13th. And that's the Ikrim of Tchiyas HaMeisim, which is the resurrection of the dead. And the Rambam says that the Yisrael HaShlosh HaSar is Tchiyas HaMeisim Kuvar Bianu. We've already explained it. In other words, that the Rambam does not elaborate very, very much on Tchiyas HaMeisim, and he refers to the reader what he's written right in different places, in the Ardama, etc., etc. Now, needless to say, the subject of the Rambam's belief in rushing the dead is, if not one of the, what's usually called of the Maimonidean controversies, is probably the Maimonidean controversy. And the controversy actually expresses itself, in fact, actually what the Rambam speaks in Hilchos Tshuva. In Perek Shemini in the Mishneh Torah, right, the Rambam speaks about Olam Haba, right? There the Rambam says, basing himself on the Gemara and Rav Yud Zayin in Brachos, where the Gemara says in Olam Haba there's no Achila, there's no Amid, Ashtia. The Rambam says, in Halacha Ches, Perich Halacha Ches, Ko Oisei Chacham Olam Haba, that which Chazal call Olam Haba, Lo Mepnei She'en Omotzi Akta, V'zeh Olam Ovi, V'achach Yovo Oisei Olam. It's not speaking about a world that will take place at some time of history. In other words, when this world is destroyed, then comes another world. In a double case, it's not true. All right, Hu Motzi Ba'oime. Olam Haba is something which exists all the time, right? Asher tzafanta, right? Asher tzafanta polas oilas. V'lo karo olam haba elip neishu yisrael chayim b'ayinu la'odam achachay olam hazeh. It's called olam haba because the state of olam haba exists after the physical world. Shano kayim b'ayin guf ha'nefesh. And of course, says the Rambam, in olam haba, explains olam haba in halacha vav, right? Right? Hateva Gedola, I'm reading now from Halacha Vav. Shitiyabah Nevesh Boilam Haba, Inshim Derek Boilam Hazel Masika, we can understand how it is. She'enu Yoidim Boilam Hazel Elo Tevas Haguf, V'la Anu Metavin. Because Elam Haba, we only know things that are physical. V'oiza Hateva Gedola Ad Ma'oi, V'enu Erech Betevas, She'olam Hazel, right? There's no comparison to this physical world, right? But, what is Elam Haba? Right, so the Rambam explains in Halacha Beis, Olam Haba ain't but guf v'gevia. Right, there's no physical body. On the fashas at the tzaddikim belvad belay guf kemalachei hashavetz. In other words, you only have the souls of the tzaddikim, like the angels. Hola v'gevia ain't but achila v'shtia. No eating, no drinking. The Rambam now is quoting the Gemara in Brachos Yitzayin about Aleph. In other words, there's no physicality in the next world. Says the Rambam, Tzadikim Yoishvin Vatarosayim Barosheim Venenim Zivashchina. Says the Rambam, this was all say that there's no eating, no drinking, but rather Tzadikim are basking in the Zivashchina. Harin is Balacha Ain't Shem Guf, Lefish Ain't Shem Achil Vishtiya. Ah, so what does it mean, Tzadikim Yoishvin, single sitting? So, Derech Achida, it's a metaphor, right? And what is Atos Barashayim, says the Rambam? Kloima Da'ash Yedu Beglala Zoch Le Ma'ver, that's man's knowledge, his intellect. V'yatorah Shalayim Ki'inim, Shalayim Shalom Atorah Shalto Le'imai. You know, so according to the Rambam, basically, the, and what is Nenim Yisim Ashchina? Sh'yoidim Masikin, in other words, says the Rambam, Nen Mizvashchina means that the tzaddikim will sit and will intellectually connect, apprehend the truth of the Creator, which of course can only be done if there's no element of physicality. Says the the Raif? No, so what does the Rambam say? The Rambam has said, I actually went backwards on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Olam Haba, the next world, is not a period in history. It rather exists now. But it's a different dimension of existence that Tzaddik can go after the neshama of the soul leaves the body. And there, the soul connects intellectually, apprehends intellectually the Creator in a physical, in a non-physical state. Says the Raivit, the several Raivits here, in Halacha Beis, Amar Vav, Divrei ze ha'ish ve'enai krov lemi she'oymer ein chis ha'meis en l'gufes el neshamas bulvat. The words of the Rambam are very close to the opinion of those of a person who would say that there's no tchias amesim, no physical, only to the shamas. V'chai roshi me'olam lo hayadas chok me'atalmud al zeh, says the Raivit, this was not the opinion, there's no opinion, right, among the sages of this, right, and the Rambam there quotes Gemaras and Ksuvos and Sanhedrin, that in fact, actually, that in the time of the resurrection, the tzaddikim will stand again, will rise again within their physical bodies. Okay? So, in other words, here already, the Raivit, if not accusing the Rambam of heresy, at least opposing the opinion of the sages, implies that the words of the Rambam are very close to that. And the Raivit repeats what he says, right? That in the Halacha Ches, right, that which the Rambam says that Olam Haba, the world to come, is not an epic in history that will follow, right, the history of our world, says there's the Raivit, Om Avam Nir Kemachish Eino Olam Chayzal Tovavayu, is if he denies that the world will revert to chaos, because Bechadish Olamai, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will renew the world, like it says in Sanhedrin, that the world history will be 6,000 years, and then it will be destroyed, and then God will renew the world. In other words, basically what the Raivit is clearly saying is that Rambam appears to be rejecting the words of the sages, which suggest that Olam Haba, right, means that there will be a physical resurrection, and that this will take place at a time of history after the 6,000 years of normative history, and this the Rambam appears to be rejecting. Okay, now, needless to say, right, that there is much ink has been spilled on this, and I think it's it would be really a waste of time for us to review this Ramanian controversy. The fact is that the Rambam, in fact, wrote a very famous igeres, a famous letter called the Maimat Chias HaMeisin, Letter of the Resurrection of the Dead, in which the Rambam himself answered those people who accused him of not believing literally in the resurrection of the dead and taking the words of Chazal the sages as nothing but a metaphor, as a mashal. And the Rambam devotes a very, very famous epistle, right, towards answering his critics, and he certainly had very many critics during his lifetime. And of course, whenever the Rambam answered his critics, this also too has been subject to much interpretation. There were no scholars who actually took him at face value, believed him. Scholars wanted to say that even his apologetics in Tchias HaMeisin did not actually dispel suspicions, etc., etc. Once again, this is also part of modern controversy. And the fact is that Tchias HaMeisin does actually appear in the Yad HaChazal Ketuv. That which we read concerning Olam Haba, there, we read that in Perek Ches, in Hilchos Tshuva. But in Perek Gimel, in Hilchos Tshuva, there the Rambam gives a list of those people who, by virtue of the beliefs, do not get Olam Haba. So the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav in Hilchos Tshuva, writes, "V'elu she'ein lehem chelek Olam Haba." These are those who do not have any chelek, any portion of the world to come. Right? Says the Rambam, Haminim, these are Minim. We've spoken about this in previous lectures in the series, Apikosim, Koifim Batera, the Koifim Betchias HaMeisim. In other words, Rambam said the person is Koifim Betchias HaMeisim if he rejects or denies the Tchias HaMeisim, the Rashi of the Dead. He's a person who's an Avodah Mahaba. This is actually for the Gemara Sanhedrin. So we see clearly that in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does mention Tchias HaMeisim, and it would appear from the language of the Rambam, since he actually uses Tchias HaMeisim and doesn't use Olam Haba, that Tchias HaMeisim here is in fact actually literally the resurrection of the dead. Now, what's interesting is that the Tchias HaMeisim, if one were to argue and take the devil's advocate, the Tchias HaMeisim is not referring to the resurrection of the dead, but is speaking about Olam Haba. I mean, the question would be, why does the Rambam use the language Tchias HaMeisim and not Olam Haba? However, there have been arguments advanced that when the Rambam says Tchias HaMeisim, he really means Olam Haba, which means not to take the Rambam's word literally. Now, this, of course, is also much ink has been spilt on this. I would like to quote from Professor Mark Shapiro in his book, The Limits of Orthodox Theology, which is an exposition of both the 13 principles and the various opinions on them. So Professor Shapiro says, I'm quoting from Professor Shapiro, beginning page 150. In this last paragraph, Rabba, the Raivit, in his critical gloss on Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Tshuva, had already interpreted Mani's words in this very writing. The word of this man appeared to be similar to one who says that there's no resurrection for bodies, only for souls. And the Raivit was led to this view because, now on page 451, Maimani's mentions nothing about resurrection discussion of life and death in the Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 8. This could also imply that elsewhere, Mani's writes that one must believe in resurrection. He's actually done for the world to come. In other words, that I think this is what Professor Shapiro is saying is when Rambam writes Tchias HaMeisim, good master me, he means Olam Haba. In support of this approach, this is Professor Shapiro speaking himself, would suggest the following. In Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 3, this is the halacha that I just read, Maimonides defines the different types of heretics who have no share in the world to come. In his various lists, he includes all the 13 principles, with the exception of the 11th principle, reward and punishment. Many have wondered how Maimonides could have admitted this, especially since the most fundamental aspect of reward and punishment is the fact of the soul in the next world. Right? That's the Rambam to fill in what Professor Shapiro is saying. The Rambam begins Perek Shemini, Hatoivat Tzvul Tzadikim, the good, that which is the reward that is hidden and awaiting the Tzadikim, is Chayi Olam Haba. This is the world of Haba. And the Gemara says, right? By Alma, Leis Chaba Amos was Klau, but the Ika Chaba is in Olam Haba, whereas it's in several places. So, says, right? So in other words, many have wondered how Amos could have admitted this. This is Chaba Oed, which was one of the Ikrim. Places the most fundamental aspect of the word of punishment is the fact of the soul of the next world. Isn't denial of spiritual war, which is actually denial of the soul of mortality, a prime example of heresy, did even more so than almost all the others he lists? In other words, a person denies Chaba Oed, reward and punishment. It's also heresy. It's one of the different principles. However, he says, if we assume the resurrection of death, which is a good chapter, really means the mortality of the soul, if the Tchias HaMeisim here means Olam Haba, it makes sense. That, in other words, in Tchias HaMeisim, the Rambam is actually speaking about Tzchava Einish, reward and punishment, in which case, since the ultimate reward isn't the next world to come, Olam Haba, so the Rambam says Tchias HaMeisim, he means Olam Haba. And Professor Shapiro brings proof of this. He says, in fact, in Hilchos Tshuva, mind this resurrection for the coming of the Mashiach. You learn, right? If resurrection refers to life after death, then it makes sense that he places it for the Mashiach. Because Olam Haba is not in any specific time, it's now. Just reward and punishment precedes the Mashiach in the 13 principles. Okay, fine. Now, first of all, so in other words, Professor Shapiro wants to understand, at least if we go and according to the Raivit, that Tchias HaMeisim here, right, Tchias HaMeisim here, means Olam Haba. And he brings two proofs of this. One proof is that why does the Rambam leave out Chava Oynish? Right? That's one of the Ikrim. And second thing is, why does Chesamisa proceed be a Sagoy? I would like to respectfully argue on Professor Shapiro's point for several reasons. First of all, I'm quoting now from the Marba Hatchias HaMeisim. Now, I'm reading from the Rabbi Kapach's translation. That's the one I have in my house. Right? So, in Chelik Vav, section Vav, in the Kach HaPach edition, it's Pei Vav, 86, Daf Pei Vav, 86. So, this is the translation from the Arabic. If those of you know Arabic, the land, it means the original Arabic. Other people have made a mistake at the end. In other words, he says, that which you say at the very end of the Mishnah Torah, where he speaks about Mashiach. You shouldn't think. The Rambam is actually quoting himself. Don't think that the Melech Mashiach has to actually make miracles. Right? Don't think it's a resurrected deck. Kiyotzim from Eilu. Bevin Arai Lekav Mashem Biyano. And there the Rambam says that he brings a proof that this is not necessarily true. And also the proof is that Rabbi Akiva thought that Makofa could be the Mashiach. V'dama Evan Kalushi Balai Iyo, which is Zeh HaKosh Lut Chesam Eilu. So one of the people basically, he uses a very insulting, use an insult. Kalushi Balai Iyo means they don't really know what to think. So someone wants to interpret this as that the Rambam, in fact, actually was rejecting Tchias HaMeisim. Where was the Mishnah? Tchias HaMeisim, he says, no, this is contradicting what I said. He said, yeah, Taylor. Because of Pashat, Ein Bo Sovek will estate it. The Rambam said, this is no contradiction, it's Pashat. For who? She'anu Amanu, she'Mashiach Ein L'Drosh Yom Yishas HaMeisim Gon Shiyah Kras HaWa. We don't have to demand the Mashiach actually do a wonder. Like splitting the sea. Or Yechai HaMeisim Al Derech HaMeisim. He doesn't have to resurrect the dead either. The Nevi'im already promised this. Doesn't mean the Kohen Baruch is going to resurrect the dead. In other words, the Mashiach doesn't have to do miracles. God do miracles. Kohen Baruch will resurrect the dead when he wants, the way he wants. Kasha Yirza. The way he wants. Whoever he wants. I be Maisa Mashiach. He can resurrect the dead. I lefana v'achri Maisa. He can resurrect the dead. Says the Rambam. Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, can resurrect the dead. Either before, during the Maisa Mashiach, or before the Maisa Mashiach, or after the Mashiach dies. In other words, says the Rambam, that the Tchias HaMeisim does not, in fact, have to take place after Yemos Mashiach. And therefore, even though in the Ikrim, the Rambam lists Tchias HaMeisim after Mashiach, the fact is that when the Rambam refers to the Mishnah Torah here, he makes a point that Tchias HaMeisim is not an act that we attribute to the Mashiach. And the Rambam says Tchias HaMeisim can take place before Mashiach. And for this reason, in my opinion, this is why Tchias HaMeisim actually proceeds in his listing in Hilchos Tshuva before what's called Bias HaGoyel, which is your Mashiach. So in other words, the fact that the Rambam, and of course we believe what the Rambam says, the Rambam certainly understood that Tchias HaMeisim is not contingent upon Mashiach. And perhaps he bedafka, maybe the Rambam in fact actually placed it before the Bias HaGoyel to illustrate this point that Tchias HaMeisim is an act of God. It's a miracle. The miracle is not something that we demand from the Mashiach. So, I think that answers one of Professor Shapiro's point, the second point. Now, the question is, why is there no Schava Oynish? So, I want to go into that in detail. First of all, the Rambam is listing people who have no Chedek in Olam Haba. I'm really giving a list of people who have no Chedek in Olam Haba. So why should I say a person is a leader's chai ba'onish? It doesn't make sense. I'm telling you, if you don't believe in these things, you have no chai ba'onish. That's your onish.
By definition, I have to speak about, I don't have to list a belief in Schava Oynish, because I'm already telling you that if you don't believe these things, you get an Oynish, you're not getting Oylem Haba. The words Oynish, Schava Oynish, these are, it's like, in other words, Schava Oynish is related to, is a consequence of not believing these things. So I can't list people who get an Oynish of Oylem Haba and say those who don't believe in, if you don't believe in Oynish, so I'm not, who am I writing to? So because of this, I claim that the Rambam doesn't include Schava Oynish. Now, the fact is, yeah.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings the Mida Keneged Mida, the reason a person doesn't get Olam Haba is because they don't believe in Olam Haba. Because
no, but still it's called an Onesh. There's a difference, though. That's something different. That's once again a consequence of that. All I'm saying is that I can't say, I can't make a list of people and say, if you believe this, then you don't get Olam Haba, and you don't, and one of them is if you don't believe it's Chava Onish. I'm telling you what the punishment is. In other words, I'm telling you the Onish. So therefore, I can't. So it's a quid pro quo. In other words, it would be ridiculous for the Rambam to say, if you don't believe it's Chava Onish, you're getting this Onish. What are you talking about? You don't believe it anyways. Who am I writing to? That's what I want to say, number one. Number two, I want to say even further. Let's look at Hilchos Tshuva, the way the Rambam crafted Hilchos Tshuva. Because I think this is a very important point. Now, first of all, it's very, very interesting that the Rambam doesn't also bring B'riyei Shemayim. We spoke about that. He does bring She'akadosh Baruch Hu is Eino Rishon V'Tzur Lakol. And from the glasses of the Ravid, it would seem that the Rambam doesn't mention the B'riyei Shemayim. It doesn't bring creation ex nihilo. Right? It doesn't bring that. But the Ravid mentions, right? Adds to it, you know, the concept of B'riyei Shemayim, but the fact is that the Rambam doesn't mention this. Now, in the when I spoke about the principle of Kadmos earlier in the Gimelikim, I mentioned the fact that really B'riyei Shemayim comes about in free will. So in fact, actually, B'riyei Shemayim actually appears really in Perach Hamishi, in Hilchos Tshuva. In other words, the Rambam here was interested in just saying, Kamei Baruch Hu is Rishon V'Tzur Lakol, he's the creator. And we spoke about the dichotomy between proving God is the creator and proving that he created ex nihilo. The dichotomy meaning that the proof that God is the creator implied in the Rambam's proof in the beginning of the second chaylet, second part of the guide, that the world was kadam. So therefore we had a paradox. So we asserted that the Rambam said there were two aspects to this. So therefore, in that sense, what the Rambam is saying here is that and I think we mentioned that in Parag Gimel, the Rambam was speaking about God as the creator, that he's the lone creator. The B'riyei Shemayim pops up in Parag Hay, where the Rambam speaks about free will, because creation ex nihilo is the basis of free will. That's how he explained it. Now, I want to claim that Schava Oynish, even though it's not listed in Parag Gimel, because there the Rambam speaks about punishment. So we're assuming, of course, that a person is being punished. The Rambam is telling you, if you don't believe these things, you're punished. So therefore, the Rambam is assuming you believe in punishment. But where does the concept of Schava Onish pop up again? It pops up in Periches. Because there the Rambam speaks about the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward being Olam Haba, and the ultimate punishment being cut off from Olam Haba. So in other words, if I look at the way the Rambam has architected Hilchos Tshuva, it turns out that through Perek Gimel, the Rambam, of course, begins by speaking about the concept of tshuva, and then speaks about those people who are punished and have no chelik in Olam Haba, which means that these people are people who, I guess, at the end don't get to the tshuva, right? And then, after the Rambam speaks about, in other words, these details, concept of tshuva, and people will punish and therefore won't be able to do tshuva, they won't get Olam Haba, then the Rambam already in Perek Hey continues and starts speaking about the ultimate purpose of man. In other words, in Hilchos Tshuva, the first four chapters deal with the laws of tshuva. What? How does a person do tshuva? Who can't do tshuva? In chapter 5, the Rambam now continues, but instead of speaking about the laws of tshuva per se, he extends tshuva to the ultimate purpose of man. Now, of course, the ultimate purpose of man, of the purpose of man in the Rambam, is his connection with God, which, as the Rambam speaks about, we spoke about this too in chapter 17, section 3 of the Murder of Ulchem, in terms of his intellect and his free will. Intellect and free will for the Rambam are one and the same. As the Rambam says, the planets, right, which are endowed with intellect, also have free will. For the Rambam, free will and intellect are two sides of the same coin. And there the Rambam speaks about the ultimate purpose of man in chapters 5. And finally, in chapter 8, he speaks about Olam Haba. Which means for the Rambam, the laws of tshuva are part and parcel of a greater ontological process, which in fact, by man being endowed with free will, grants him access to the ultimate truth, the ultimate purpose of the world, which is communing his intellect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with God. And that's Olam Haba. So in other words, the Rambam understood that the halachic process of tshuva and the halachic laws of belief, which are Ukraine, are embedded in a much more of a cosmic philosophical process by which man achieves ultimate knowledge of God, which is the purpose of the Torah and the purpose of man's creation. That's what the Rambam is doing. So therefore, what I want to claim is that the notion of Schava Oynish, the Rambam saw as being inseparable from this ultimate purpose of man being Olam Haba, in which man, by being granted intellect, which the Rambam defines as the Tzelelik in the image of God, is finally achieved its purpose and theological end in Olam Haba. And therefore, the Rambam place Chava, just like the Rambam understood that creation ex nihilo, which is the basis for man's imitation of God and his connection with God's intellect, is free will, and the Rambam put that in chapter 5, transferred Chava Oynish as part of the more philosophical process by which man achieves his purpose, and that's an Olam Haba. So in other words, that's how the Rambam architected Hilchos Tshuva. So in which case, what I would say is that in the Yud Gimel Ikar, the Rambam speaks about Chava Oynish, there he uses more in a utilitarian sense, because I have to be Chava Oynish before I speak about Yemais Mashiach and Techias HaMeisim, and these are the things Yemais Mashiach has to do when Klai Yisrael does Tshuva. But ultimately, in its much more philosophical and cosmic sense, right, Chava Oynish is actually part and parcel of man's ultimate end, and that's Olam Haba. So, what I want to say is, in the Rambam, we have two concepts. We have concept which is called faith, and we have concept which is called philosophy, or philosophy, metaphysics, ontology, man's ultimate ontology. The Yud Gimel Ikrim is man's faith, the halachas of man's faith. What does man have to believe in? That qualifies him to be part of this ultimate cosmic ontological process. But what? But ultimately, the faith is part and parcel of a greater spiritual cosmic process which defines man's purpose and the purpose of creation. And this is therefore embedded, right, in what I would say is the granting of to man of intellect and free will. And by his use of free will, man's ultimate reward is Olam Haba, where he intellectually connects with God, which represents man's ultimate teleological ontology and purpose of creation. the answer to Professor Shapira. So in other words, what we see is that the Rambam left out creation ex nihilo and left out Tzchava Oynish because he understood those in a much more general frame than in, right, which defines the ultimate cosmic theological destination of man, of which the laws of faith are only, you would say, a details, halachic details, which enjoin man as part of this ultimate cosmic purpose. And that's what I would say is why he left out Tzchava Oynish. But, so therefore, what comes out is a very, very interesting thing. The Yud Gimel Iklim, in a certain sense, you know, it's very interesting. I came to learn of a very interesting thing, which I thought I wanted to speak about. There's a very, very famous statement that's attributed to the Chaim Soloveitchik, that you can't ask a question unless you already have an answer. This is a famous thing that's a tradition of the Briskins. It's brought, I think, in Matike Shmua and Rabbi Dr. Eigenson's book on Das Torah. He quotes this in English. And this, the Chaim Soloveitchik wanted to claim that you can't ask a question until you already have an answer. Chaim Soloveitchik brings a proof from the Akedah, but Avraham Avinu first asked a question after the angel told him, "Al tishlach el chalanav, al tishlach el chalanav, not to touch the benah." And that we see that only after another answer can they ask the question. I recently read a doctoral thesis on the Chazon Ish by a certain Brown. It's recently been published by Yeshiva University, Gedolei Law School, a very thick book on the Chazon Ish, which in my opinion.
What? Magnus Press?
No, I don't think it's Magnus Press. I think it's Cardozo Law School, okay. University. I have to recommend it. I think, in my opinion, it's probably the greatest biography of the Gadol that's ever been written. But actually, in this thesis, is an interview with a very famous Talmud of the Chazon Ish. It's Dr. Tzvi Aryeh Yehuda. I don't know if he's alive anymore. But actually, he actually learned with the Chazon Ish, either every day or several times a week for several hours. Knew him very, very well as a young boy. I think later he emigrated to America and became a professor, a doctor, and he's written some pieces for Tradition Magazine on Chazon Ish. There, Dr. Tzvi Aryeh Yehuda says that he's interviewed by this Professor Brown, and he says that the Chaim would never make a statement like that. It's a stupid statement. He says his grandmother was there when Reb Chaim actually said over this chiddush. Chas v'shalom, you can ask a question if you know that you don't know the answer. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was distinguishing between what he calls halacha and a promise. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, "Ki Yisrael chazara, this will be your progeny." That's called a promise. But then he told them, "Bring him as an oiler, and a hamariyah." That's halacha. There's no contradiction. One's a promise, one's halacha. When the malach told them, "Al tishlach yachal nar," there's a contradiction in the halacha. That's when Avraham Avinu raises the contradiction. In other words, basically, what Tzvi Aryeh Yehuda wants to say is a promise and halacha are two different domains. They have nothing to do with each other. A person cannot create from Judaism a philosophy based on promises. And that, I think, was his objection to what he understood to be the messianism of the Mizrahi Rav Kook. By the way, in this interview with him, because this was much of an admirer of Rav Kook, but that was his critique of what he understood to be maybe Rav Kook's philosophy. So, we have halacha and haftach. Now, Tzvi Aryeh Yehuda wants to say that the Chazon Ish understood the same thing too. Like I mentioned, haftach has nothing to, a promise has nothing to do with halacha. I want to claim that this chiluk is actually in the Rambam. The Yod Gimel Ikum, the Rambam, are part of halacha. I'm quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik in the one day to be published Philosophy of Judaism, which I'm still waiting for the Oyo to put out, which I've finished. Yud Gimel Iqam Halacha. That's what I have to believe. Olam Haba is a Haftacha. That's a promise. I don't have to believe in Olam Haba. I can believe in Tchis HaMeisim. So in other words, what has the Rambam done in Hilchos Tshuva? The Rambam has made, in the Rambam in Perek Gimel, the Rambam is telling me beliefs which are halacha. This is what I have to believe. And that's a gemikra. However, creation ex nihilo, which is the base of man's free will, which eventually lands man into Olam Haba, which is the ultimate schar, that's a haftacha. That's a promise. A promise is an overall universal cosmic spiritual metaphysical process. But a person doesn't make that the basis of his halachic life. In his halachic life, a person has to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. And as the Rambam says in his treatise on Tchias HaMeisim, that a person doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, he's going to reject all the nisim. He's going to reject all the miracles. It's interesting, the Rambam's same lashon about belief in Tchias HaMeisim mirrors the same lashon in Menuchim in chapter 25, which speaks about believing in the Sicilian concept of what? The Sicilian concept of cosmos, of eternity.
Section 2,
right. One, the Rambam understood that it could be lived in Barakim upon the halachas. Tzchavayish, as a halacha, he listened in the Yerkim Likud. But Tzchavayish also is connected to the concept of a halacha promise. For this reason, he isn't really impressed with the Rambam, because the Rambam is a halacha. So the Rambam, what I'm claiming is, in Hilchos Tshuva, is distinguishing between, is that what I call halacha and halacha, which is between the halachas of belief and halacha of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that is a man. That was a man, for the Rambam, could have been something called Hashkafa, like we call Hashkafa, and it could possibly be that's something that, like something which is too abstract for people to understand what that is. I'm just one cannot envision it. Since Olam Haba cannot envision it, you can't make it part of the halacha. It's too abstract, it's too deep, it's too philosophical. But belief in Tchias HaMeisim is a halacha. A person that can believe in a maze can also believe in Tchias HaMeisim too. And it's very interesting that what I'm saying after the Rambam says too, in the Rambam's Mamat Tchias HaMeisim, the Rambam says in section Zion, section 7, I'm in the Kaladik, the Rambam says, how come I elaborate so much on Olam Haba? I only give one sentence to Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam is partial. Tchias HaMeisim, there's no depth to the belief. You believe it, that's enough. But he says, Tchias HaMeisim is derech ha'iyum. Tchias HaMeisim is a philosophical concept. It's a concept of man's intellect devoid of his body. Says the Rambam, for this reason, I have to devote, I have to elaborate on Tchias HaMeisim. So, what I want to say is that in here, in section 7, the Rambam's distinction between Tchias HaMeisim, which is only a simple belief in a physical fact, a physical event, and Olam Haba, which is a philosophical concept, there the Rambam is expressing the dichotomy, the distinction between what I would call the halachas of belief and the philosophy of belief. And I claim that the Rambam understood that since the philosophy of belief, which is Olam Haba, is ultimately the ultimate schar, so therefore the Rambam relegated schar v'oynish to the philosophical concept of Olam Haba. As is in creation ex nihilo, he relegated that to Bechira Chavshus in chapter 5. But what I have to believe in is that God is capable of doing nisim. But that only creation ex nihilo, because the Rambam says in chapter 25 of section 2, I can believe the Platonic theory, but I'm not called an apikoros. So in other words, the Rambam understood that there is halachic belief and philosophical belief. Halachic belief is a yud gimel ikrim. Philosophical belief is already the yad, or actually the last five chapters of Hilchos Tshuva. So the first four chapters of Hilchos Tshuva are halachic belief, the belief in Tshuva, and the belief in those things which allow me to do Tshuva. But the philosophical, iyun, which is, of course, limited, which requires tremendous elaboration, that's chapters 5 to chapter 10, and that the Rambam summarizes and Bechila Chavshis, etc., etc. Yeah.
Changing subject slightly, does Rambam ever express or explain why, or the purpose of Tchias HaMeisim? apart from being a belief in Nisim.
No, it's just a belief. No, the Rambam, as far as the Rambam is concerned, is something that the Torah has promised, because Al Seir was promised, and I have to believe, and that's it.
But it doesn't seem to be any
No. It's a belief like an Eninez. It's a part of belief. It means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, has free will to change the world. But in other words, I can believe the Chesam Eisim, and believe the Platonic theory of eternity. That's fine too.
I understand.
But no. It's not.
In terms of God, I understand.
It's not a philosophical belief.
Why in the Shema should want to come back and say?
It's a belief. It's a belief. It's a nice. It's a nice that Torah has promised, and I believe like all the nice that Torah has promised. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I want to claim. He actually places it before Bias HaGoyel and Perek Gimel of those children. It's a nice like every other nice. The Torah promises to believe it. It's part and parcel of belief in the Torah. Or belief in the Nevi'im. Same thing. I mean, the Nevi'im are coming to echo what the Torah says. So that's what I want to claim. Okay, so in other words, what I want to say is, and I think this is maybe a little bit of a conclusion, a fitting conclusion to the Yud Gimel Ikrim, how are we to understand the, it seems to me, the major problem with the curriculum is understanding the believable Ikrim, right? As opposed to what the Rambam was in the Guide from the Plagues, and also in parts of the Mishnah Torah. And this is the basis of all scholarship. All scholarship points out is that there are glaring contradictions between the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the principle of faith, and between what arises in the Meila. And therefore, because of this, the different resolutions is that the Yud Gimel is only made for Abaratzim, for the ignorant. That's the Abba Benelli that says like that. Or the Yud Gimel are only meant to show that we have a certain type of theology. It's also the Abba Benelli. Or the Rambam was speaking, the Rambam didn't really believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, he was speaking to the Amaratz, and he really believed in the Ori Nevuchim. In other words, these are all the different yeshuvah. It's very, very hard to accept a yeshuvah like this when the Rambam says explicitly that, you know, these are yeshuvah. It's not only in the Adon Perish Mishnah in Parachelik, but he also speaks about this in the Matkis Amazim. I want to claim that that's not true. There's a distinction that the Rambam is making between the halachas of belief and between the philosophy of belief, or between what the Chazon Ish, or Chaim would say, a promise, and between a halacha. Judaism is a religion of halacha, but it's also a religion which is a theology, a vision for man. But it's not Christianity that there's only a vision without halacha. And of course, only halacha without a vision. It's not orthoprax. But rather, Judaism incorporates both things. There's laws of what I'm supposed to believe in, and then there's a depth of understanding of the purpose of man. The Rambam in Yud Gimel Ikrim was speaking Alibat the Hilchas. These are the halachas, what I have to believe in. The Rambam places these in Perek Gimel of Hilchas Tshuva, where the Rambam speaks about the laws of Tshuva. And the Rambam is telling you, these are the laws, the halachas of things that I have to believe in. Ah! Philosophy, purpose, vision. That the Rambam placed in chapters 5 to chapters 10. There the Rambam is not really speaking halacha. There the Rambam is presenting to me the haftacha, the promise of the Torah, the vision of man, and how the vision and the Torah's understanding of man fits into man's ultimate purpose, which the Torah is promising, namely Olam Haba. So in other words, there's no reason to use the contradictions between the Yud Gimel Ikrim and the Guide and the Mishnah Torah to create all different types of esoteric and exoteric theories of Maimonidean intentions and writings and controversies. Rather, this concept of between halacha and promise, Mekubalim would say between halacha and metaphysical processes of Birurim, exists in the Rambam too. Judaism is both a vision of philosophy of man's role and his purpose in the world, but it's also the laws which God has required man to do as part of God's rotzayin, God's will, and the human divine ethic. And this dichotomy is fundamental to Judaism, whether you're a medieval rationalist, whether you're a mekubal, right? Whether you're the Chazon Ish and Abchayim, right? This dichotomy expresses itself in different nuschais, different versions, but the dichotomy is always there, and this dichotomy is in the Rambam, and it's brought out most explicitly in this difference between Perek Gimel and Prokem Hei to Yud and Hilchos Tshuva, and that I think resolves the the differences between what the Rambam is trying to accomplish in the Gimel Ikra and what he tries to accomplish in the Meira and the certain parts of the Mishnah Torah. Yeah.
For Rambam, what is belief without philosophy? What does it mean to believe in something that has no philosophical
I mean, Rav Sanji Goyen speaks about these things. I think it's hard
to
say.
The
Rambam would say, very simply, that the Gemaras in Perichelik, in Sanhedrin, in Tzadik Vav, right, are speaking about the halachas of belief. Who gets it? Who will get the Olam Haba?
Yeah.
In Daf Yuzayin of Brachos, when Chazal say Atos Bereshayim Olam Haba, speaking about philosophy. Well, the Rambam would say that already we see this distinction in Chazal. Sometimes Chazal speak about philosophy, and that's the deeper understanding of the goddess of Chazal. And then some Chazal is speaking about beliefs, which are halachas. So in other words, in Perichel, the Chazal is speaking about the halachas of belief. Because they're telling me who's an apikurdus, who's not an apikurdus, who gets an olam, doesn't get an olam haba. That's halacha. But in Perichel, Zayin, and Brachos, when Chazal is describing olam haba, they're clearly using a mashal, a metaphor, which the Rambam understands is seidus mi seidus ha-teira. The Rambam says this explicitly several places, including the introduction to the commentary to Perichelik. And then the Rambam would say that Chazal were engaged in two types of things. They were engaged in philosophy of belief and also in the halachas of belief. So the Rambam put this in Chazal. The distinction expressed, I don't know. It's very interesting that the Rambam, many times, at the end of like halachas, the Rambam will actually give a philosophy. To me, the Rambam speaks about the Amilah. Because the Rambam understood that there's halachas and then there's vision, this philosophical depth and understanding and beauty. Both are parts of the Torah.
I mean, yeah. Rabbi Truitz has spoken a few times about the thing between Mishnah Torah, says the mitzvah is to know God, and based on the mistranslation in Pirush Mishnayos is to, sorry, right. Mitzvah is to believe in God. Even, apart from the mistranslation, whatever. It sounds like there is a mitzvah of belief, there's a mitzvah of
love.
I don't see the Rambam expressing that really.
But I think he does. I think actually in Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Perek Aleph, the Rambam is very interesting there. The Rambam speaks about the mistake of the philosophical debate. But according to the Rambam, no one punishes you for belief. If you believe things about God, but actually we're expressing ourselves halachically is that if you pray, if you worship something other than the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, for example, I claim that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah too, I'm not going to go into detail right now, but actually we see a concept called a belief, and a concept, but the halacha is worshipping it. So in other words, for example, if a person believes that God created things, and that by honoring these things we honor God, the Rambam says called Hilchos Avodah Zarah. But according to the Rambam, that's not halacha. I halachically, I transgress Avodah Zarah when I worship something other than God, which is, I think, the fourth ikra. So in other words, what I want to say is that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam distinguishes between what's called the belief of Avodah Zarah and the laws of Avodah Zarah.
But in the Yud Gimel Ikra, that's talking about belief, and Rambam says
that was Rambam's chiddush in Yud Gimel Ikra. I'm required to believe. Because the Rambam makes halacha too in Perek Beis of Avodah Zarah. The other Rambam says that I have to believe in God's incorporeality, and also in His that He created. In other words,
a simple reading of the Ikrim is that somebody who doesn't believe in one of the Ikrim,
but I want
to, is a mitzvah.
Right, but that's halachic.
But it's halachic based on a belief, not based on an action.
No, so that's right. I'm just using that sometimes the Rambam will divide things into beliefs into actions. So here too, I want to say the Rambam will bring halachas of belief and the philosophy of belief.
We find out that the Rambam talks about belief.
That's what I want to claim. That's the way I was thinking of this truth. From Perek Hay and onwards, the Rambam is speaking about the philosophy of tshuva.
There's no punishment from Hay onwards. There's no consequence of someone getting the belief wrong.
No, that's for sure. No, there isn't. Because you can't expect it. Since like the Rambam says in Ma'amchil Ha'lesin, I think Olam Haba is philosophical. You can't punish a person because every person has to understand it.
Whereas in Ikrim, he is going to punish
a person. Because Ikrim is called the laws of belief. But there's nothing in the Ikrim laws of belief which is beyond the person to believe, to understand. No, but chesamation is a name. A world without a body, that's something that only the deep philosophers can understand. with Chias Amazes like Chias Shams, or I'm compared to the Chias mm-hmm. Shams, that even an Amoritz can believe. That's all. Okay, with this I think we've ended the Yud Gimel Irim, 19 lectures. Now 19 lectures. It is true that 19 is an odd number, so is 13 too.
Prime number.
Right. 13 is also prime too. So in other words, it's always good to end with a prime number, like the Rambam ends with a prime number.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to remind people that the Riemann hypothesis is still out there to prove that as a person goes on in real numbers, in integers, the number of prime numbers becomes less and less. If you actually prove that, you will win the $1 million Millennium Prize, which is being offered by some institute.
Bear in mind that shufflecircle.com.
Right, and if you win it, right, bear in mind that I was the first person to alert you to this. If you can't prove that, you can prove some other million problems. I would like to say that next series we'll actually try to prove all your million problems, but that's not for a special Hanukkah. Well, we know that once you learn these things, that the other things are very posh. Just ask your friend for Abu Samishika. But in any case, I hope that the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the series of Shi'urim, have given some of you something to think about. And if people have new ideas or even argue with me, then this will be my reward. And I want to thank you very much for listening. And with this, we conclude the Yemir Toshem, the Yud Gimel Ikrim. We are planning on Yemir Toshem. This summer, we probably will. I don't think we'll be in any new series this summer. But in the answers of next year, with your encouragement, we hope to be to begin new types of shiurim, in which we actually expand to other aspects of the Torah. And I wish you all a good summer, a nice vacation, and just I wish you meet again. From an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, Kol Tov.